From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on February 3rd at the Rally for Refugees when a woman named Mary Monroe ended up, maybe not knowing at the time, but ended up with an idea. And here we are sitting here today with a packed studio of people from around the world. And you're going to hear some music, but you're also going to hear some ideas on how music can bring people together. Now, throughout our history, we have seen it happen from Bob Marley's One Love Peace Concert in 1978, Nelson Mandela's Tribute Concert in 1988. Of course, you know, We Are the World. There's a lot of great examples. And you've got a chance coming up here to hear about the United with Music Benefit Concert. Going to be that big as those ones? Well, maybe eventually. This is the seed that kind of grows, and Mary Monroe is the founder of the United with Music Benefit Concert. They're going to be benefiting Refugees Helping Refugees. Now, to our knowledge, the only Rochester and local organization co-founded and essentially run by refugees that help other refugees. So let me go ahead and welcome all of our guests here in the studio, and we'll talk about that. Mary Monroe is the founder, who plays the harp, by the way, but not playing at the concert. Why aren't you playing at the concert? Because you have enough to do at the concert? Is that why?
Yes.
It's great to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. It's a great honor to be on this show.
You got it. Well, we're going to talk about how this all came together, and Sadia Omar is the vice president and co-founder of Refugees Helping Refugees. Truthfully, Sadia, this is an organization that's been on our big board in my office for a long time to learn more about, so it's great to have you, and I'm eager to learn more about what you do. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Also here is Maury Rosenberg, who comes to us from the New York Klezmer Orchestra. Maury, nice having you.
Nice to be here today.
Also here is Joe Dady from the Dady Brothers, who's going to eventually play a penny whistle for us up here.
Great to be here, Evan. Thanks.
Thank you for being here. And our hello as well to Fana Bangura, who's the artistic director of the Munafanyi West African Percussion and Dance Ensemble. And Fana, great to have you as well.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
All right. I'm going to start with Mary Monroe, who just take me back to that day in February, you know, what was going on there and how this all kind of came together.
Sure. Well, this actually started in back in November when I found out about a little girl in Syria, and she had a Twitter account. And, you know, I had known the plight of refugees, but when I started following her account, I really was brought into her world. And it was quite unimaginable to see what kind of suffering they were going through, you know, just scared to walk outside their door, didn't know if they'd survive the day. And luckily, her family did escape, and they ended up in Turkey, and they are safe. And she is writing a book called Dear World that will be published. But that was my first real true insight into the world of refugees, where I could really feel what it would be like. Although you never could really know what it's like unless you go through it yourselves. But I have two young children, and I just couldn't imagine my children having to go through that. And so from there, I just knew I was going to be doing something. I didn't know how I was going to help. And then when Number 45's administration decreed the Muslim ban at the end of January, I was actually supposed to be...
You said Number 45's?
Yes.
Won't say the name?
No.
I wouldn't either.
He doesn't deserve it. And anyways, so I was going to be funding an album for myself. I haven't recorded in a while, and I was met with a colleague to put that together, but I just felt so unsettled that I knew it wasn't going to be about me for a while. And so I prayed and I prayed, and I ended up seeing a vision of all these people from around the world, different musicians and dancers together, playing music, holding hands, and I knew that that's what I had to do. But when I went to the refugee rally on February 3rd with Nina Alvarez and Tracy Cretel, it was such an uplifting experience to be around just different colors of the rainbow of nationalities of people around the world together, supporting each other, loving each other. There was a Muslim gentleman handing out tea. It was freezing. It was 18 degrees out. My hands were freezing off. And but it was just so warm to be there. It didn't even matter. And I actually got interviewed on Channel 10 while I was there. But my friend Tracy Cretel told me about Refugees Helping Refugees because I knew I wanted some of the money from this concert to go to help refugees, and I was hoping to go locally. And when she told me about them, I was so excited. I contacted them. Helena Kabid was the first contact I had there, and eventually I got to meet Sadia Omar, who is the founder of this amazing organization, and I got to go in and interview her and other people. And They're doing such amazing work. They have English as a second language classes. Most people don't even know how to speak English, let alone sometimes open a door here because it's so different from their countries. And these people support each other, and they help them find jobs. They bring them to doctor's appointments, get them to the immigration office. They have the Healthy Living Program. I mean, it goes on and on. I couldn't imagine going to a brand new place you know nothing about, you don't know the language, without having support. So I am so honored to be even associated with this group, and also to have these amazing musicians. I mean, this talent that's going to be at this concert on June 25th at the Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word from 3 to 6 p.m. It's only $25 to get in, and all the money is going to help refugees, and you are going to have a blast. You don't want to miss this. The mayor is writing a proclamation. We're on your show plus the TV all week promoting this. It's only, if you want to get a VIP ticket, it's $100. You get a free bottle of wine from Inspire More Winery, a backstage pass, upfront seating, and you get a ticket into the reception following the concert. So it's going to be quite the event, and I hope you all can join us.
That's this Sunday from 3 to 6 at Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word in Rochester. And again, it is UnitedWithMusic.com for more information. $25 to get in for a ticket there, and the money is going straight to refugees helping refugees.
That's correct.
Mary, how old are your kids?
My daughter is 12. Her name's Alana, and my son is 9, and his name is Christopher.
So, I mean, I've got a 5-year-old, so you look at your kids, and in this country, privilege to me is thinking about your kids and thinking, boy, this is so hard. I don't know which school to send them to. Or, you know, are they going to have a play date this weekend? Oh, they had to cancel. Isn't that? That's hardship for a lot of parents. And I don't mean to minimize. I mean, some of those things. But then you see these stories, and we are so connected as a world more than we ever have been because of what media can do, how instantly you can see these stories around the world. And I'm with you. I mean, there have been moments where I went, I cannot believe I've been fretting as a parent about X, Y, and Z when you see these stories. And they seem to hit you that way.
Right. And then everything just goes out the window. Anything you've worried about, finances, anything, you realize, oh, my God. And we just don't have anything to worry about compared to what those people are suffering during Civil War
and so the
genocide.
Goal, the goal is what with United with Music?
Okay. Well, it's to bring awareness, first of all, to what refugees are going through. And it's also to bring awareness to this organization because, unfortunately, there aren't a lot of people who know about it yet. And I'm hoping, I know already the word is spreading, and so even after this, we can continue to support refugees, helping refugees. And also just, it's also about uniting the community, though, with the great diversity that we have here. I mean, Rochester is absolutely amazing, and our mayor, the first African woman mayor here, I mean, Rochester's done a lot of firsts, and I just, and you know, the funny thing is I just got a DNA test done. And I did not know that I was 44% Greek. All my life, I thought I was half Italian and Swedish and Scottish. And turns out I'm actually North African. I am Jewish. I am Greek. I am Scandinavian and Finnish. But the truth is that we're all mixed up, aren't we? You know, we are all humans. We are all the same, really. And I just can't believe that people are afraid of differences when really when we look at it, we are not very different.
Let me bring in Sadia Omar. And Sadia, don't be afraid. Grab that microphone, bring it nice and close to you because I want to hear your voice and I want to understand your story here. So Sadia, first of all, you are the vice president and co-founder of Refugees Helping Refugees. But let's kind of come back to your story and where are you from and sort of your path to the United States. So you grew up. What are your first memories of childhood? Tell me about that.
I was born in Somalia and raised in Somalia until 1991 when the civil war broke up and it was really bad and I lost siblings and my family members, including my husband. So I was 23 and then I left my home country. It wasn't my choice, but we were forced to leave the country because it wasn't safe to be there. So then we went to the neighboring country where was Kenya. I was in the refugee camp in Kenya for 10 years.
For 10 years?
Yeah.
What was life like in the refugee camp in Kenya?
It's really tough. You don't get everything you want. We don't have money. We lost everything. All we had was to survive and be somewhere. And then being in the refugee camp, you depend, everything is you get from United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. And they depend on the international community. Whatever they get from the international community is what they give to the refugees. So we get food. It's not everything that we have it here. So we used to get dry beans, cooking oil, and white flour. And the food you get is how many people in the household. That's how you get the food. So if you have four, they make sure it's only for four people. Water is a problem. We used to get water once a day. Sometimes it comes in the middle of the night. Sometimes it doesn't come. So the water you get is what you're gonna use for your food. You're gonna wash every. You're gonna use for your dishes. You take bath. You wash your clothes and everything. So life is really tough in the refugee camp.
And you were there for 10 years, and then what happened?
And then we keep trying. Everybody write their story and take their story to United Nations. There's an office, and we're in the refugee camp. Every morning we have to go to the UN, and you write your story, what you went through, and they look at your story. It's like winning a lottery. The way you go every day and buy a ticket and you don't win the lottery is just like that. So they just pick your name. But what I did in the refugee camp was I was promoting girls' education and women's rights in the refugee camp. That's what I did, and that's how I got my process, because there was a problem, like men were eloping with young girls, and attendance in schools were, compared to boys, girls, attendance was very low. So I had to go from door to door. I have to held meetings with the family and say, we need the girls in school. And then we came to find out they are eloping with men and report them to the police and bring back the girls so they can be in school. And
Sadia, let me just interrupt and ask you so I understand.
Sure.
You said when you were in the camp, you were promoting women's rights. That's how you were doing it? You were making sure that the girls had a chance at education, that they weren't just sort of targets for older men to elope with?
Yes. So they don't get married at early age, so they should be in school.
And did that happen? Was that working out?
Yeah, it was working out, mm-hmm. And it wasn't safe for me because a lot of men were not happy, so I had to get protection and be in a protection camp. Like, there was a protection camp, so I was there, and that's how I got resettlement to come to the United States.
Do you remember the day that you found out that you had sort of, in your words, won the lottery, that it had worked?
It's a long process.
Yeah.
So they had to take me out of the refugee camp and took me to Nairobi, which is the capital city of Kenya. I was there. And then you have to go through many processes.
But did you know at that point that
I didn't know until the last minute. It's like you go through 23 steps. And then the 23 steps, the time you meet the Homeland Security, they used to call them INS. That person is the person who let you come or no. If he says, okay, you go, you get yes, then you know you're coming. If they don't like you, you're not coming. So
God, I just can't believe that you could get that far and have to go back. So
you can go through all the process, and that's the last process that you put your fingers crossed. You know that. Here I am. If today I'm not going to get this, no.
And do you remember how it felt when you found out it was going to?
I realized I was with my two little boys who were born in the refugee camp, and I look, and no, you have to go home, and then they'll send it, they'll put your name on the wall. Mm-hmm. So you go every day looking at the wall, is my name there? And then you see your name and say, oh God, I know I'm going, so.
And what was the process then? So from there you went where?
Then you have to go through medical. They make sure that your medical is cleared up, and you go through orientation. They have to give you orientation to know how life is in America before you come, and then you wait for the last name on the wall, which is that the flight is, you're going to United States on certain days, so you know that's the time you're leaving.
And Sadia, let me just ask you, and I don't want to ask this question in any sense at all to caricature this process, but I'm genuinely curious because your organization, Refugees Helping Refugees, helps refugees in many different ways adjust to life. So when you talk about orientation, learning what life is like in America, do you remember what you thought life would be like in America? And do you remember if it was that way or if you had some things wrong?
So it's like basic things. They don't tell you everything. Mm-hmm. It's like when you come, this is how many days you'll be helped. That was like 6 months, but it's not like 6 months. So that you have, they have, the sponsoring agency will find you a job. You'll go to school and learn English. And it's safe. So what I was happy about coming here is like, I know I'll have food on the plate. I'll have shelter on my head. And my kids will go to school, and I know I will not be worried about guns or not. When I was in the refugee camp, there wasn't freedom of movement. So as a refugee, you're not allowed to leave the refugee camp because you'll be arrested. So I know we'll have freedom of movement when we come here.
You said it's safe.
It's safe.
Compared to the life that you grew up with.
Yes.
Big difference.
A lot.
Do we take it for granted here, do you think?
Yes, I do. When I see kids don't go to school, I say I wish they knew how other kids really want to go to school and they don't have what these kids have. I say I wish I had money to take them back there so they can see how life is there. Oof. And take it serious.
All right, so you've been in Rochester for how long now?
I'm going to be 16 years.
16 years?
Mm-hmm.
Did you come, and forgive me again, Sadia, did you come directly to Rochester or any other parts of the United States? It was Rochester.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
was it winter?
No, it was almost wintertime.
Almost wintertime. Did they warn you about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when I saw the snow, I remember my son was 5 years old. Now he's in college, and then he came from school and said, Mom, there's something like snow falling. No, like ice cream falling on the ground. I said, ice cream?
Something like ice cream. Well, yeah. We've had some bitter winters, but again, I think it probably... for Sadia Omar, my guest who I'm talking to now is the vice president and co-founder of Refugees Helping Refugees. She has been through so much. Cold winter. You can live with that. You can deal with that. Has you been in Rochester 16 years? And are you happy here?
Yes, I'm here because I came with my siblings. They all moved out of here, but I'm still here. So
your
this
siblings
is
moved
my home.
Your siblings moved by choice away from here?
Yeah. In fact, my sister moved because of her husband. He got a job and she had to move with him, and my other siblings moved to Ohio. But I'm here, so this is my home.
Well, that's really remarkable. And you founded Refugees Helping Refugees about 7-8 years ago, is that right?
Yeah.
And tell us about the organization. Most of our listeners probably have not heard of Refugees Helping Refugees. It's a great opportunity to learn about it.
So I started Refugees Helping Refugees with my other co-founder because of the challenges we faced as refugee when we came here. Not speaking the language, the weather, transportation, everything was an issue. So I felt like I knew English before I came here, but the thing is other people don't speak English. They can't even read their own language and write their own language. So then they don't have a place to go to. It's like 3 months, right now it's 90 days. So when you come as a refugee, you go through the process. The CFC is the sponsoring agency. They'll help you find a shelter, employment and everything. And then after that, you're on your own. For other people, it's so hard. You don't have a place to turn to. So we thought we should have a place for people like us that share the same experience with us to come. So they can come and we can help them. So we do English as a second language. We do a lot of casework for them, like applications, calling DSS if they have an issue. We have HLP, Health Living Program. We have Senior Program. Senior Program is the first thing that made me even to start the program, the Refugees Helping Refugees, because our seniors are so isolated in their own homes. It's hard for elderly people to adapt the new culture. They're not like young people. So we felt they should have a place that they can come out and socialize. And we do it once a week.
And where do you do it?
At the center, which is on 835 South Avenue. Mm-hmm. We did have summer program past 3 years. We didn't do it last year. And that was, we call it intergenerational summer program, bringing the youth with the seniors so they can learn the culture and know where they came from. We have computer classes, we have sewing classes, and we find jobs for them too.
How many have you helped in 8 years? Do you know?
In the past year, it's 250.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how many are you serving right now?
We have students who come in every morning from 9 to 12, and they're 55 to 60 students.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And Sadia, certainly this country is a little bit more attuned to questions on refugees right now. I mean, we're very polarized politically in this country, as we know. But there's more conversation about refugees here and probably around the world, certainly in Europe, than there have been in a long time. Some of that, of course, is based on prejudice and racism. Some of that are people like Mary Monroe, people who are very sincerely interested in understanding more about what's happening. How do you feel about what you're seeing and the kinds of conversations, and how would you describe, you know, sort of Rochester's reaction and reception of refugees, Sadia?
I feel people in Rochester are very good people, and they really welcome us. And when the rally that Mary Monroe was talking about, when the president banned the travel for the seven countries, but right now it was six countries, I felt like I lost hope. Like, here I am, I'm lucky I'm being here. There are other refugees who their children are still back there, wishing that their families will come over. And he wants to take that away from them. I felt like the chances were very slim. But after I went to that rally, I felt like this all love around us with all these people screaming for us. Then I felt so great, and I knew there are people supporting us, and Rochester is a great place.
I'm sure that the president and the White House would say that they would only want to welcome folks like you, but they were just trying to protect this country. What would you say to them if that's what you heard?
We are good people. And we went through a lot of process before coming here. It's not like they just pick us and bring us here. You go through so much screening before you come to this country. I want people to see us like people, like other human beings. It's only that we lost so much, and it wasn't our choice to be refugees. We were forced to be refugees. So don't see us in a different way. When you see me, don't see me the way I dress, the way I look. Just see a human being like you.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is.
It is beautiful, and it's. I think it's important to hear that. One of the most gripping things that I think I'll take from this conversation with Sadia Omar, my guest, is a description of 10 years in a refugee camp in Kenya before finally, in as she describes it, kind of winning the lottery to come here. When we hear about extreme vetting, the need to increase that kind of a process, I'm not an expert. I don't want to sit here with this microphone and claim that I know everything that goes on. But every time I talk to someone who has come to this country from another country, I hear of how thorough it is, how vetted it is. And when you hear Sadia's story, it's hard to think that it is not a thorough process already. But I'm just—I'm very appreciative that you wanted to share your story, and so now you've got this event coming up, United with Music. You want to tell me what you think about the concert coming up here, Sadia? What do you think about the idea?
It's a very good idea, and I'm so grateful. I don't even know how to say this. I'm so thankful to you guys putting all this together in Mary Monroe. It's going to help us. We are all volunteers. We work like 40 to 60 hours a day. I mean a week, sorry. We help people every day. One of the things that I do this is because a lot of people that I didn't know did a lot for me when I was leaving my home country to this destination that I didn't know it will be my destination. So I'm giving back. So you guys are giving back too, and it will help us a lot.
Refugees Helping Refugees is the organization that Sadia Omar co-founded. She's the vice president of that organization. They're going to be the beneficiaries of the upcoming concert. And let's get our only break of the hour, and we're going to come back, and we're going to hear some music and talk to some of our other guests who are going to share their thoughts about what they just heard and why they've gotten involved with the United with Music benefit concert. It's United with Music. com, and the concert is this coming Sunday from 3 to 6 at the Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word in Rochester. That's on East Avenue. So you've got this great chance to hear wonderful music, and now you know exactly what it's going to benefit. Let's get that break and come right back on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on the next Connections, Amazon is gobbling up Whole Foods. What will that mean for you as a shopper? What does that mean for jobs and employment with another mega merger in this country? Then in our second hour, best friends or close friends with very different politics. You see less of it these days. We're more polarized. So how valuable is it to have friends who disagree? We'll talk about it.
Support for your public radio station comes from our members and from Abundance Food Co-op, committed to offering real food from local sources. Now operating out of its new location at 571 South Avenue in the South Wedge neighborhood. Online at abundance.coop. And the Finger Lakes Land Trust, a nonprofit working to conserve lands and waters across the region, presenting Go Finger Lakes, a new online guide to hiking, biking, and paddling the Finger Lakes. Suggested journeys with maps, videos, and directions online at gofingerlakes.org.
A warehouse job that once took hours now takes minutes and involves fewer humans.
So these are the Amazon robots. They're orange, square shapes.
Humans and robots working side by side. I'm Ari Shapiro. We go inside an Amazon distribution center to look at the work of pickers this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. United with Music is coming up on Sunday, and Mary Monroe is the founder of this concert. You're going to do this every year? I mean, have you thought about this? You're looking at me going, can I just do one first? But I mean, is this, you got a big vision here?
We're thinking of turning it into a yearly festival. A gentleman, Bob Pizzarelli, approached me a few months ago, and he came up with an idea called Diversity Through Music. And so we're going to combine forces, I think. We're going to see what happens. Anyways, I'm going to go to the planning committee, but it could be like the Jazz Fest and have like a whole weekend long festival of music.
And in a moment, you're going to hear some music, and we're going to have a chance to talk to some of the gentlemen who are here at this table, Fana Bangura, Joe Dady, Maury Rosenberg. That's just part of the list. How did you put this together, Mary?
Well, the first person I thought of was Joe Dady. We go way back. He's good friends with my father, Dennis Monroe. Unfortunately, he passed away in 2006, but I know he's overseeing this in spirit. But Joe did not hesitate. I called him up, and he and John were on board in a split second. And then I just thought of all the different nationalities I wanted represented, and so I called the Klezmer, or well, how I got in touch with the Klezmer Orchestra was through the Jewish Culture Center, and then the Baobab Center for the African culture is how I found Fana and his group. And then I actually discovered some of the musicians at an open mic. Actually, the South American guitarist, George Aparicio, I discovered him at an open mic, and it was quite an amazing experience. He comes on there with his classical Latin guitar and just blew me away, and I just couldn't believe I had this opportunity to invite him on board. And
that's great.
So, yeah, some of the artists I just sort of ran into. It just was meant to be, I guess.
As a guy who can strum like a few chords and play a few power chords, when I hear that Latin flair with the guitar, I think, that's like a different instrument. That's just like a different world of what is possible for me.
Yes, that's awesome. That's
awesome.
Amazing.
How many total performers?
So we have 9 altogether. One of the groups is the Drumcliff Irish Dancers. Eddie Murphy is the director of the school, and some of the dancers will be joining, actually, the Dady Brothers on one of their songs. And Mary Ashton is representing country music. She's from West Virginia, and she now also resides in Rochester. And we've also got Brittany Vetter playing the Native American flute, and Mike Joseph will be playing some Americana music, too. Well, and Fatima. Oh, I don't want to forget Fatima. She's from Bosnia, and she is an amazing singer here in Rochester. And she's actually going to be playing a song that she wrote for her father when she had to say goodbye to him coming here from Bosnia.
All starts at 3 o'clock this coming Sunday at Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word with the United with Music Benefit Concert. I want to bring in Fana Bangura, who is with the Munafanyu Percussion and Dance Ensemble. And from the resume that I'm reading, Fana, you've got many years' experience performing and teaching throughout West Africa and then the United States, correct?
Yes, sir.
So what brought you, well, let's back up here. You grew up where?
I grew up in Guinea, West Africa.
Guinea is in West Africa. For most Americans who failed MAP class, which is most Americans, Guinea is where? You said it's in Western Africa, northern Western Africa?
West. West Africa. Our capital is called Conakry because we have many Guineas. So Guinea-Conakry is my country.
And what was your path to Rochester? What brought you here?
So in 2009, I was invited to the United States to perform and to teach. Because when I was living in Africa, and I was teaching people from all over the world. So the United States student decided to bring me here so I can share my culture. So but when I first came in 2009, I went straight to Portland, Oregon.
Portland, then, okay. Mm-hmm.
Then I got hired to come here to teach at the University of Rochester. So that's how I got here in 2011. In the fall.
And you've been here since then?
Since then.
And still teaching at the University of Rochester?
I'm still there teaching, at the university, RIT, you know, all over the place.
How do you like Rochester compared to West Africa?
It's different, you know, but what I like about it is I have the opportunity to share my tradition, my culture to new people every time. Because in Guinea, I grew up there. People saw me a lot performing, teaching. So now I'm here sharing that tradition to create joy in Rochester. So I like it here, you know, because Rochester is a kind of place, performing place, festival place, than everywhere I have lived since I came to the United States. So Rochester is cold. The only problem is the cold. But if I don't have to go anywhere, you know, I think I can do it.
You can handle it?
I think so.
You like Rochester better than Portland?
Portland was great in terms of the weather. But, like that time I was new to the United States. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to build up my reputation and my work. So I was there for 2 years. But if I got big opportunity to come to teach at the university, you know, that was very grateful. So I'm here doing that. Also involved in the community a lot, serving the community with music and dance, because music is kind of create joy and it's a healing. So since I came here, me coming to the university was to perform and share my tradition. So I like to follow that through.
And Munafanyi Percussion and Dance Ensemble has musicians and dancers from Guinea, Ghana, Congo, Cote d'Ivoire, United States. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
All right, so tell us a little bit more about the percussion and dance ensemble, and then we'll hear a little bit of djembe, I think.
Yeah.
You brought the djembe.
Yeah. So since I'm a performer, and I know, like we say in our proverb, like one hand can kill like the insect, but you cannot take it. You know, it can kill something like that, but taking it, you have to have help. So even though I'm a performer, you know, trained in Africa very well, it doesn't mean I can do things by myself like that. So I put a group together when I came here so they can help me share my culture. Because in Africa, we have, in the group, is a lot of people. So here, I needed that kind of people who can support my work, you know. So Munafanyi was created in 2013 after being here 2 years. You know, I thought, like, I need to perform. I'm a performer. I cannot be just sitting at the university and people don't know what really, who I am, what I do. So I put this group together. I had some people, you know, I already knew in a different community. So I talked to people and then, like the Baobab Cultural Center she mentioned earlier, I went to them because they know the town and they kind of do African stuff. I needed them to support my work. So I went there and they helped me get people, you know. So I knew some Africans in town. So we got together and put this thing together.
And so, what are you going to play with before we hear that, you're going to be performing on Sunday.
I'm going to be performing on Sunday with my band, and we're very excited about it.
How many people in the band?
So we have 12 in total. To perform a tough performance. But, our performance is the number of people doesn't make any difference. It's still the same. Even if you see four of us on stage, it's like wow. So we are getting ready for it, and we've been practicing a lot for this Sunday.
Okay, and so you can grab the djembe. He's got this this beautiful instrument that as you do that, why don't you, before you play, tell our listeners and get nice and close to the mic and tell our listeners what they're about to hear. And tell us about the instrument, too.
So I'm going to play the drum, the djembe, because when you say drum...
Trying to get a little closer to the mic so we can
when
hear.
When we say drum, we have a lot of different drums. This drum I'm going to play is called a djembe, a French word. In Africa, we call it djembe, but French, it says djembe. So this is a drum made with wood and skin with goat skin. The skin they get here today is goat skin. So this is a drum.
The head of the drum is goat skin.
It's goat.
Okay.
And this is called a djembe kang. We call it djembe kang, means drum demonstration, djembe demonstration.
Okay. And for my colleagues recording in other parts of the building, you're going to be hearing that in the background on everything on WXXI today. That has got some power to it. That's beautiful. Fauna, that's
gorgeous.
I don't even know what to say. That's
thank you.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So that's just a small taste there. I saw Mary with a big smile on her face. So you're going to hear Fauna and his band performing on Sunday, United with Music Benefit Concert. And again, the beneficiary is Refugees Helping Refugees, a local organization founded by Sadia Omar. You met her earlier this hour. And we're talking about the music that you're going to hear. So that's Fauna Bangura. That's the djembe. Let me turn to the other side of the table. And it's a lot to follow, guys. So Maury Rosenberg, I'll look at you first. He comes to us from the New York Klezmer Orchestra. So tell us what the New York Klezmer Orchestra is, first of all, Maury.
New York Klezmer Orchestra, it's Eastern European Jewish folk music. And my experience living in Boston was very valuable to my knowledge of Klezmer music. You have the conservatory band, the Klezmer Conservatory Band out of Boston. I played with the Shirim Klezmer Orchestra, which is another kind of modern contemporary Klezmer Orchestra. Glenn Dixon, who's the clarinet player, leads Shirim, and my experience playing with Glenn and working with Yiddish vocalists and playing klezmer was very a lot of fun. And when I came to Rochester, I did meet a gentleman who was part of, I think, the 12 Corners Klezmer group. He's no longer in Rochester, but he introduced me to some local klezmer players, particularly a trombone player, Rick McRae, who plays trombone in my klezmer band from time to time, and the other musicians in my band, drummer Mark Phillips, my guitar player Joanne Vaccaro plays klezmer harmonica, Chris Reynolds on the bass, and if I forgot anyone, I'll hear it after this interview, but but basically I play accordion in the group, and just love music. I've always been attracted to cultural music, and it's nice to hear everyone's story. And but basically, you know, graduated from Berklee College of Music, found my way to Rochester, New York, and I started three different ensembles here. And I've actually played with Joe before, and it's a small community. You know, musicians are all over the world, and we have some great musicians here in Rochester, so it's nice to be here.
I love the concept of what Mary has put together with this, and does it make you, even hearing Fauna perform on the djembe, does it make you even more excited to be part of this?
It makes me want to play music with this gentleman.
Same thing. I want to jam with him, right? Yeah.
Yeah, if I get to play today, please play along. That'd be nice.
Same thing.
Well, are you going to play some accordion for us?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, let's do that.
Okay. Awesome.
Let's do it.
Let's see if the accordion still fits on me. Yeah, feel free to play along if you'd like.
Certain we could say that's a first. I don't think we've had accordion and djembe together on this program, and maybe in Talk Radio American history. That was awesome.
It made me get up and dance immediately.
You should have seen Joe. Joe was up there. Joe was moving around. So, Mark, can I ask a super ignorant question about the instrument you're holding there?
Yeah.
When you're sort of I was going to say compressing it, and then what's the terminology? How are you?
Pumping.
Pumping. And so... what is that part of the accordion called? Is that
it's the bass buttons. This is a piano accordion. There are different types of accordions. There's concertinas, there's bandoneons. This is a piano accordion. And you have reeds on the left side of this instrument and reeds on the right side. And basically the buttons on the left side, it's a braille system. I never get to see it. So you learn, you know, patterns on how to play the left hand. And but in general, the accordion is a bulky instrument, not the easiest instrument to play, but you get used to it after a while.
What's that thing weigh?
This weighs about 22 pounds.
Okay, and I'm just fascinated by it. I don't think I've studied up close like this. And so when you're sort of compressing and pulling apart that part of it, what's the effect on the music?
Well, it's very it's very simple. If you pull on it.
Yeah.
Depending on how much force you use, if you pull softly, it's quiet. If you pull hard, it gets louder.
Oh, wow. See?
So dynamics are controlled by how hard you push or pull the accordion.
I love it.
And the nice thing about it is if you don't pull at all, you don't hear anything.
You hear nothing.
It becomes a percussive instrument.
Thank you for that. And what are we looking forward to on Sunday with your performance?
You know, it's something that will unfold in terms of describing it to you. I invite people to come down and hear it.
That's great.
But it's going to be klezmer music, both traditional and contemporary.
That's wonderful. That's really cool. You're listening to Maury Rosenberg from the New York Klezmer Orchestra. Let me turn to Joe Dady, the guy who was dancing in just a moment there.
Well,
from the Dady Brothers.
The music can do that too.
Yeah. And that was involuntary, I think.
Well, exactly, man. That's what it does.
Joe,
man.
Clearly, in this hour, just watching Joe, wears his emotions on his sleeve. And I couldn't help but observe when you're hearing Sadia's story. I mean, pretty emotional, wasn't it?
Absolutely. To know what she had come through and to come to America and also knowing that there are a lot of people waiting to come to a place like America in this world. And the way, you know, it seems to me fear seems the thing of the day. You know, this Mexican wall, you know what I mean? I'm more of the thinking that we need more bridges than walls. And we need to connect people in this world. And in my mind, I've been through, you know, foreign countries, and I've been detained, not like this lady has been, but I know that feeling. And in my mind, boundaries between countries are lines on a paper. And a lot of times people are separated from each other or held back by more political reasons. And geopolitical things that don't have anything to do with regular people, me and you. The survival aspects of it, and people get marginalized by whatever their skin or their religion. This country, in my mind, was set up for people to come to get away from the oppression. My people came, you know, ancestral, came from the potato famine, you know. They were driven out of their country because of the potato plight. But, when I hear these stories, it reminds me of that. So,
and so the Dady Brothers, tell us the history of the Dady Brothers.
Oh, in a thumbnail. Okay. We're from the 10th Ward. We grew up on Lakeview Park. Contemporaries with Bob Duffy and other people like that. And, you know, and we're just folk musicians. We heard the Beatles and we said we're going to be musicians then. And our dad was a musician too, and he encouraged us. You know, he played jazz trumpet, and he was a bit of a crooner from that era. And we just set forth to play music. We had regular day jobs, and we gave up our day jobs, and I think it was around 1979. So my brother and myself, we've been playing professional music for 43 years now. Lucky to play all around America and other countries, and you know, we've had a pretty good life at it.
And you're going to play on Sunday as
yes,
part
sir.
Of this as part of this benefit. Again, it's the United with Music benefit concert. Tickets are $25, $100 for the kind of the VIP. Mary, I call it a VIP, but it's a
yes.
There you go. So, but a chance. It's 3 to 6. A chance for you to hear music from all these different cultures. $25 gets you in at the Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word in Rochester. UnitedWithMusic.com. For tickets there, and it's gonna benefit Rochester Refugees Helping Refugees, which Sarah on Twitter reminds me they've got a great website to share, rhroc.org. So check out their website, and you can learn a lot more about it.
There you go.
And I know it means a lot to you to be a part of this here. You brought your
your
penny whistle.
Well, something that's not heavy because I play a bunch of instruments, and we're always traveling stuff. But I like to invite the
Fana
gentlemen.
Rocked it out, man. I mean, it's
yeah, right? But I was going to invite both of these gentlemen to play with me. Now, Maury, being a great musician, he not only plays klezmer music, he wrote a whole list of these Irish tunes that he knows as well. So I'm going to pick a couple of those. The first one I'm going to do, if that's okay, a tune by our friend Finbar Fury from Dublin. And this is goes along with his. It's a tune called The Emigrant. And then we'll go into Banish Misfortune in D, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Nice. Thank you. So I'm down to our last 90 seconds. How long is the poem, Mary? How long is the poem?
Oh, it's probably a minute.
You got a poem to read. What's the poem?
Okay, so it's Tracy Critell is running the literary event of this program, and children have written stories and poems about their experience, refugee children here in Rochester. So it's called Sword Against Refugees' Happiness by Patrick Narshanugua. Don't look at me with such hate, like I'm not human or have an infectious disease. Why do you judge what you don't understand? Can't you see that I'm an innocent person? Take a moment and put yourself in my shoes. How would you feel to see your home burnt down? How would you feel seeing your family and friends getting killed for no reason? We used to dream. We used to imagine. Having beautiful lives and freedom in our countries. I'm nothing but a person who is struggling, trying to survive. I have nowhere to go or anyone to run to. So where has your humanity gone? Do you even have a heart? I've been running, seeking for freedom, a place that I could call home. And finally, I found this land called the Land of Liberty and Freedom. Now you are avoiding me and forcibly turning me away, like I'm a dirty, diseased animal that you will harm. I am human too. I am just an innocent person who's seeking freedom. So where do you want me to go?
Beautiful. That poem helps close our discussion, and I just want to let you know, because I'm going to ask the artists, we got about 50 seconds or so. You want to play us out here, guys, here?
Sure. The United. Oh, sorry to interrupt. It's children 12 and under free. I just want to make sure.
Children,
you know.
12 and under free. UnitedWithMusic.com. It's this Sunday from 3 to 6 at the Lutheran Church of the Incarnate, and it benefits refugees helping refugees. Take it away, guys, and thank you so much. Thank you.